Well, thank you, as I said, for being here. I welcome you this morning and wish you a good morning. And I want to just encourage you that we're basically, all we're going to do this morning is we're going to continue a conversation that we started last week, okay? And the conversation we started last week was on the topic, it's on the screen here, the conversation is on biblical community. So let me ask you a personal question this morning. Please clear your mind of all the other thoughts about where you're going to eat afterwards, and just be with me for about 15 minutes here. Let me ask you a personal question, and I don't want you to respond by raising hand or verbally, but let me ask you this question. Are you doing life together with another believer? Is there a name, is there a face that comes to your mind? Are you doing life together with another believer? Somebody that you're praying with, somebody that's sharing with you your blind spots, somebody that's you're in the Word together. And I do want to say this. As married people, yes, we should be doing life together. I'm doing life together with Heather. No doubt about it. It's a wonderful journey. But I need other men now. Heather needs other ladies. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, we're doing life together. We've been doing it for about 21 years now. Doing life together, it's been a great journey. Why are you laughing? But folks, I need Heather, but I need other men in my life, other Christian men that I can talk to, that I can share with, that will pray for me, that I can confess my sins to them. We need that. We need to do life together. So are you doing life together with another believer? You say, well, why is this important? Let's look at three verses real quick. Ecclesiastes says this, two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other person can reach out and help. See, a lot of people fall, and there's no one to help them. That's not God's plan. But someone who falls alone is in what kind of trouble? Everybody say it. Real trouble. A person standing alone can be attacked. A person standing alone can be defeated. But two people standing what? Back to back can do what? They can conquer. And here's the deal. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So what I want you to see in this whole series, and I'm not sure how long we're going to be here, is you and I were intended to live our faith out together with other people. With other people, okay? So what I want to do today is I'm going to change gears. We're going to go down to second gear, and we're going to talk about the characteristics. One characteristic of biblical community, okay? And this is a big idea. This is a big key to understanding how can we be successful in doing life together, okay? So what we're going to do today is talk about one thing that's necessary for us to be successful if we're going to do life together. And the key word for the day is this. Everybody say it together. Come on, everybody say it together. Amen. If we're going to be successful in biblical community, if we're going to be successful in doing life together with somebody else, we need to be committed. We need to be committed. What's that word commitment means? It means a state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or to an activity. So let me ask you a few questions. Don't respond. Are you a committed person? I think we're all committed to something. Are you a committed person? What are you committed to? And here's the question that I'm driving in deeper and deeper intentionally, and that is, are you committed to biblical community? Are you committed to being a part of another believer's life, doing life together? And I know people ask, well, what should those in biblical community be committed to? So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a text from the Bible. So begin to find your Bible, and I want you to go to the book of Acts, and we're going to go to Acts chapter 2 this morning. And this is what one of the key ingredients to having successful biblical community is all about. By the way, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47 is a very, very popular portion of Scripture. It's very popular when it comes to this topic of community. And we're going to read it together. But before we read it, everybody look to me. I know you're opening your Bibles. That's great. Bravo. What I want to do is I want to give you a little background to our text. I think it's very important before you read something, you know the context in which it's given, okay? Acts chapter 2 is probably hands down one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, okay? And basically, Acts chapter 2, what does it cover? It covers the birth of the church, the very, very first church. How many people have heard the story of the birth of the church? Good, okay? The story begins after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, we know the story. We know the story of the crucifixion, that Jesus was crucified, Jesus was buried, and on the third day, Jesus was risen. That's the gospel. So we celebrated that a couple weeks ago, the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. Here's what a lot of people don't know. So Jesus rose from the dead, and the Bible teaches that there was a period of 40 days. A period of 40 days where Jesus stayed on the earth before he ascended to go back to be with God in heaven. And during those 40 days, the Bible tells us that from time to time, Jesus would meet with the disciples. And when he met with the disciples, they would have questions. They would have conversations. Jesus would tell them certain truths that he really wanted to make sure they understood, okay? And then in one of those very last conversations that Jesus has with the disciples, it's a combination of a command and a promise. A command and the promise. And the promise is actually found in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I want you to read the promise that Jesus gives to the disciples. It's on the screen. Jesus says, "But you will receive power." Everybody say power. Power. Say it like there's really power. Everybody say power. Okay, the Greek word there is, I believe it's dunamis. That's where we get our word dynamite. I mean, that's explosive power. He says, "But you will receive power." He's talking to these disciples, believers. And he's saying, "Hey guys, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Okay? And here's the reason for the power. You will be what? My witnesses. And you're going to tell people about me everywhere. Because here's the deal. I'm going to leave. You got a mission to carry out. But don't try to carry out the mission with your own ability. You're going to need power. And the power is going to come from the Holy Spirit. And you're going to begin to tell people about me everywhere. And it's going to start right where you're at today in Jerusalem. It's going to go throughout Judea. It's going to go into Samaria. It's going to go into the ends of the world. You guys have a big assignment. A big assignment. But here, don't start the assignment without the power. You need the Holy Spirit, okay? So what happens is Jesus gives them this promise, and then what happens is he ascends right before them into the heavens at the end of 40 days. So what do the disciples and the believers do? They go into this room that's called what? The upper room. And what they do is they begin to pray to receive this promise that Jesus gave them. So what happens is one day passes, 2 days pass, a week passes, 10 days, they're praying. By the way, that's some amazing leadership in my book. I can't get people to pray for 1 hour a week. And here these guys go into this prayer room and they're praying for the promise for 10 days. Then if you know the story, on the 10th day, something amazing happens. These 120 believers are in this room, and we're told, and you can read about this in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, the Holy Spirit comes into the room, and some amazing things begin to happen. People begin to speak in unknown languages. We call those tongues, and fire becomes in the room. Amazing things begin to take place. You can read about it. It's in the Bible. We're not making this up. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 11, okay? And here's one of the biggest things that happens in my eyes. One of the most amazing things that happens in my eyes is there's this disciple named Peter. How many people have heard the name Peter before? Just about 5 weeks earlier, when Jesus was going to go to the cross to die, Peter denied that he knew Jesus. How many times?
Three times.
And now this is the one Jesus is going to give the responsibility of sharing the good news with, Peter. But something's changed in Peter, and that is what? The Holy Spirit has come upon Peter. And now Peter's not on his own. He's got the power. How many people know we need the power? How many people know the church needs the power? Amen? And what happens is Peter goes out into the street. They're not in the upper room. He goes out into the streets of Jerusalem where they're celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. And people, Jews from all over have come to Jerusalem. And he goes out, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, Peter gets up and he begins to preach an amazing sermon. And guess what happens? At the end of the message, 3,000 people say, "What shall we do?" And he says, "Repent and be baptized." So what happens is 3,000 people give their life to Christ. And the Bible tells us that in that one day, 3,000 people are added to the church. I think that's an amazing story, because if you think about it, in the early mornings of that particular day, there were how many believers? 120. At the end of that particular day, how many new believers? Everybody? 3,000. I don't know about you, Wally, but I've never preached a sermon where 3,000 people got saved. I would love to, but it's never happened. So what's happening is the church takes off. This is the birth of the early church in one day, from 120 to 3,000 people. And then what happens, and that's where our text begins, is they begin a new community. What we're calling in this series, a community of believers, a biblical community. And then Acts chapter 2, and let's look at it, it's on the screen. This is what this community looks like. This is their behavior. These are these people, okay? Let's read it together. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. It says, all the believers. Everybody say those three words together. All the believers. All the believers. I want you to see that. It's throughout the text. They've devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to sharing in meals, which included the Lord's Supper. They devoted themselves to prayer. So they were praying people. Verse 43, a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers, look at it, it's there again. All the believers met together in one place. And they began to share everything they had. They sold their property, they sold their possessions, and they shared their money with those people who were in need. That's radical. They worshiped together at the temple. How often? Everybody say together. Each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with what? Great joy, generosity, all the while praising God. And they were enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And I want you to see this, verse 47. Each day, the Lord did what? Added to their fellowship those who were being saved. This is what I see. 3,000 people doing life together. The Holy Spirit doing amazing things. Love. These people are loving on one another. And everybody in the community is beginning to see them and see what's going on. And you know what they're saying? That's what I want. I want that in my life. So what they do is they say, I want to be a part of it. And people are getting saved every day. People are being saved every day. New converts, new people joining this community of believers. It was an amazing time. That's how our church, that's how this church, the church as a whole, got started on that day. Okay? So back to the question that I want to ask this or address today is this. What were these first century believers committed to? What were they committed to? Well, we see in the text they were committed to several things. First of all, they were committed to what? The apostles' teaching. So what's happening right here is there's no New Testament. Basically, what I think is happening is the apostles are sharing what they saw with their own eyes, the miracles, the signs and wonders of Jesus. They're sharing what they heard with their own ears, the teachings of Jesus with all these new converts. They didn't know. So these 11 guys, because now they're down to 11, they're just sharing. They're sharing teachings about who Jesus really is and what he looked like when he walked the earth. And people are just, they're drawn to it. They're hungry. They want to hear more about Jesus. So they're committed to saying, I want to hear about Jesus. And they're hearing the basics of the gospel because they didn't know about the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. And now the disciples are giving them the message and they're devoted to fellowship, to koinonia. They just love being together. They're sharing meals together. So what I'm assuming, they all met at the temple, then they would break out into this different homes and maybe 10 over there and maybe 12 over there or 20 over there, and they would just get together and they just loved being together. They would share meals together with these new believers. We're all new in this. We got to stick together. We're community. And they also devoted themselves to what? Prayer. Prayer. Okay? What I want you to see here this morning is this. Here's all the things they're committed to, and they're doing it with joy and great generosity. And all these things are wonderful. I would love for them to happen more in my life and in your life and in our church. But there's one key ingredient that I want us to see here this morning. One key commitment that made all of this possible. And that is this, and I don't want you to miss it. These people were committed to one another. I want you to think about that. We're talking about biblical commitment. We're challenging you to do life with other believers. What made all these things possible? Well, the Holy Spirit is obviously the big, big deal here. But what made all these things possible is these people were committed to one another. So if you and I are going to do biblical community together, if you and I are going to do life with other believers, there's one key ingredient that we need to have, and that is commitment. We need to be committed to one another. Are you committed to other believers? We need to be committed to other believers. And you know, there's people all the time that will say, Mike, well, it's just not like that anymore. People in our generation, they're just not committed anymore. People just have lost that. There's no commitment anymore. And I say, baloney. Everybody's committed. Here's the deal, to something. Are you hearing me this morning? Everyone's committed to something. But here's what I'm finding out in my life, and I think it's true of a lot of us, is this, that we're committed to activities. We're good at being committed to activities. We're committed to our jobs. We're committed to sports. We're committed to events. We're committed to hobbies. Man, I love it. I am. I'm committed to those things. So I'm not speaking down. I'm committed to those things. But here's what I'm finding out about my life, and I think it's true about a lot of us, is that we're good about being committed to events, but we're not really good about being committed to people. And I can even say that about the church. I think there's a lot of people that are committed to the actual church, but I don't know if they're really committed to the people in the church. And my thought is, why is this? And here's why I think it is, because activities are fun. Fun. I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. Activities are fun, fun, fun. They're rewarding. There's a lot of benefits from them. I mean, wow, it's fun. But on the other hand, listen to me closely, on the other hand, people, they're not always fun. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? People can be messy. People can be difficult. People can be a major inconvenience in my day. People can be very challenging. People can be, am I speaking truth here or not? You're looking at me like you're an awful person, Mike. I am an awful person. I need Jesus. Help me, Lord. Amen? People can just be, does anybody have any annoying Christians in your life? Or is it just me that, Lord, help me. My heart needs to be revived again. It's so easy to be committed to the events. I go there, I have fun, we're laughing together. I'm enjoying watching my kids in the events, and I'm enjoying this, and I'm enjoying my hobbies. But, Lord, I don't know if I can one more day be committed to that person. But anyway, that's what's happening, is we're committed to the events, but we're not committed to one another. Commitment in our culture is a very difficult thing. And that's why people are bouncing all over the place, in marriages, in families, in churches, is because we're not committed. And if we're going to do life with an other believer, and I want you to hear me, listen, you need to do life with other Christians. I don't care if you're a middle school student. I don't care if you're a college student. Thank God for our college students. I don't care if you're a gray hair person. And you've been around the circles of Christianity for a long time, you better be doing life with another believer. When you're an island to yourself, That's dangerous. The enemy can attack. The enemy can come upon you. But we need people in our lives that are there to help us out, even when they're messy, even when it's hard, even when they're challenging people. What we need in this church, and I'm speaking directly to this body of believers, people who call this church, can we please be committed to one another? Can we please be committed to one another? Okay? So my challenge is this to you this morning, is to take some steps. I'm asking everyone in this room today, I don't know where you're at and in your level of commitment to community. I don't know where you're at in your level of commitment to another believer. But I want to challenge you, wherever you're at today, is to take one step forward. To take one step out of your comfort zone that might be 2 feet by 2 feet. And I want you to begin to be intentional about looking and praying and saying, God, who is it? Where is it that you want me to be involved with another believer? I know a lot of us in this room. I know a lot of the issues that people in this room go through. A lot of people are going through real life challenges that are very difficult. They're overwhelming. They're heavy. And we're trying to do it all by ourselves. That's not what God's intention is. God wants us to join together and bear one another's burdens and go through life together. And I want to encourage every single person, begin for crying out loud. I love that word, for crying out loud. Let's begin to find people that we're going to do life together with. Okay? How do we do this? We do this by getting involved. We have opportunities here at church. I'm trying to increase the opportunities that we provide for people. I'm trying to increase the opportunities for people to be involved with other people's lives, other believers. I want to encourage you men. Maybe your baby step is we have another men's ministry here in May on the 14th. We're going to be doing events through the summer. Come on, guys, step out of your comfort zone. Come and join us at men's ministry. I want to encourage all you college students, get involved in a campus ministry. I think it's great that you come to church on Sunday morning. Bravo. I applaud you. I think you're wonderful. You're awesome. I want this for my own kids. But there's other opportunities where you need, there's campus ministries. Get involved in a campus small group. Really, what needs to happen is we're a small church, but we're still too big for real community. You need to even get smaller with one or two people that where you can talk, where you can share, where you can be exposed some things in your life. And I know it's scary for a lot of people, but here's the deal. Those steps will provide freedom. When you begin to expose things that are hidden in the darkness, and I think a lot of us are living in shadows, and we need people, we need just need to engage with others and say, this is what's going on in my life. So I'm promoting small groups. Is there small groups on campus? Look at everybody's head shake over here. All right, that's awesome, isn't it? So they need that. And guys, we need you to get involved. There's Bible studies for you to get involved in. Get involved with Financial Peace University. We're going to have a lot of different things as this year unfolds, okay? What will happen when we start to really be committed to one another? What would happen if 150 to 200 people really began to do life together? And they begin to really care for one another and love one another and get in the Word together and pray together. What would happen? This is what would happen. I heard of a survey recently that they did. There was a church in River Falls that took a survey of people that attended any church in our city. They came up with only 30% of our community go to any church at all. 30% go to any church at all. And there's like, what, 15 different churches. I want to let you know I drive this van to pick up kids on Wednesday night. And when I look at the expanse and the size of our community driving that van, I think the girl that sits in the front seat of the van is probably getting sick of this question. Why don't these people go to church? And it's become a holy discontent in my life. Like, Lord, what's going on? And I think what's happening is for most people, the church has gotten a bad name. There's been a lot of negative attached to the church. But what would happen if there was a church where people really did life together? What would happen if there was a church that was really committed to the word and prayed together and really began to share with one another? What would happen if there was a church where people authentically did life together? I think what would happen is people would want to come and see. People would want to come and see. You would want to tell them about it. So my prayer as we go through this journey, and I know it might get old after a while, but I think it's something that God has birthed in my heart, especially as I become older. I feel like now I'm moving into a fatherly figure, almost a grandfatherly figure in this church, and saying in my heart, God's put on my heart that tell the people, you can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. You can't live this Christian life alone. You need to do life with other people. And I'm talking to people with gray hair, no hair, long hair. Folks, hear what God has been birthing in my heart. Do life together. So, Lord, I just pray for our church right now. And I know there's people that are probably afraid or opposed to this. And, Lord, I just pray, God, it wouldn't be me trying to orchestrate. But I just pray for the work of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, I pray that if this is just me, that it would be dismissed. But I believe this is the work of the Spirit, that you would do the work in our hearts. And I just thank you for our time together. We just pray for people right now in our church. I know they're in moments of great anxiety. May they experience your peace that comes over us like a wave. And Lord, I pray that we would be a church that we're committed to one another. We're committed to that one on our right, the one on our left, the one sitting in front of us, behind us, the one we know their name, and then there's those we don't even know their name yet. Lord, I just pray that you would make us a strong church of relationships with you and with one another. And I just thank you for each one that's here today. Each one is beloved by you. And God, I just pray, God, that you would continue just to reveal yourself to every one of us. More and more revelation would come upon each and every one of us to see you more clearly, that we would experience you and have an encounter with you. God, I thank you that you don't leave us alone, but you love us so much and you care for us so much. May we line ourselves up with you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.